Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is the first 11 verses of Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. This is the word of the Lord.
We're in a series entitled Fruitful Lives, and hopefully something will come up on the screen in a moment, where we're looking at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to sound too obvious here, but it's not talking about our fruit. It's not talking about if we try a little bit harder, this is what we can achieve. As Colin so wonderfully shared with us last week, it's not talking about the natural, it's talking about the supernatural. We worship a supernatural God, and if we're uncomfortable with that, we're uncomfortable with God, because by nature, that's who he is. But I think something that we tend to forget, he requires that we live supernaturally. We have natural lives, and what we soon discover, and of course the older we get, the more obvious it becomes, that we cannot live like Jesus. The only person who can live like Jesus is Jesus, but praise God, he's given us his Spirit. And as we allow the Spirit to have domain in our lives, as we surrender our desires, our hopes, our wishes, our plans, then we have the chance of allowing something of the beauty of Jesus to be seen in us. Why is that critical? Because this world, if we don't realize it, desperately needs to see Jesus today. Would you agree? And so this morning we're actually looking at patience. When Sue and I lived in Tynmouth, we had 10 wonderful years down there. The children grew up down there. And I was part of a little gym called Broadmeadow. And the manager of that gym was called Rob. Great guy. Got to know him quite well over the years. Rob would have a number of trainees working for him. And what he would do with every trainee, he would send them to the ironmongers just down the road from the sports centre. And he'd ask them, he'd say, go up to the counter and ask for a long wait. And so the trainee would go and go up to the counter and say hello, and they'd have their little Broadmeadow t-shirt on, so they knew exactly who they were. And he said, excuse me, Rob's sent me down here and asked me to ask you for a long wait. Certainly, young man and young woman. And he'd leave them. And apparently the record was an hour and a half before they twigged that actually what they were having was a long wait. And whilst I must be honest, I found that humorous, I'm struck by how many times God requires his people to have a long wait. Have you noticed it? Does it escape us that the people of Israel were in Egypt for 400 years? Not 400 days or 400 hours, 400 years. Moses, when he left Egypt in a hurry, but God wasn't. And it took God another 40 years to work on him in a desert, at the far end of the desert. 40 years! As you know, I'm approaching 37 years of age, and so I haven't reached 40 yet. Heck alive, 40 years ago, I was 23. And so from the age of 23 through to 63, 40 years, and God is just waiting. Abraham was 75 when God promised him a child. Do you know how old he was when the child was born? 99. He was 99 years of age. I hope he was on duties for nappies and all that stuff. David was anointed by Samuel when he was around 15 years of age. Do you know how old he was when he became king? 30. 15 years, and 8 years of that on the run from the king. Waiting. Joseph was around 17 when God gave him dreams of what he would become. 13 years later, having faced slavery and imprisonment, the dreams became a reality. I don't know about you, I've always wondered why God waited 30 years for Jesus to start his ministry. The sinless Son of God, 30 years of age. This runs so contrary to the world that we live in. I've written down here, everything is fast paced. Well, apart from me, when you see me walking, actually. We live in an age of ready meals, fast food, and microwave ovens. We always seem to be in a hurry. I remember years ago, I was up in Derbyshire at a conference, it was an evangelism conference, and there was this fabulous black pastor from Africa speaking, and he said, I do find it interesting. I wish I had his accent. I wish I could give his accent. His wonderful accent, this booming voice. And he said, you in the West, he said, you have all the watches. He said, just in Africa, we have all the time. This is so powerful. So this morning we're thinking about patience. Or as another translation puts it, long suffering. Long patient endurance. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. There was a saying, I'm sure it was my mum who said it to me. Patience is a virtue. Possess it if you can. Seldom found in a woman. And never found a man. Okay, ladies, you didn't have to finish that for me. Never found in a man, it says. I think it's a tad sexist, but probably true. So why is patience included in the fruit of the Spirit? Impatience can't be that big a vice, can it? Listen to some of these proverbs. I think they might be coming up on the screen, actually. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Here's another one. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. Would you agree? Last one. It is better to be patient than powerful. It is better to win control of yourself than over whole cities. According to Scripture, patience is closely related to wisdom, peace, and self-control. A lack of patience leads only to chaos and pain. James, our Lord's brother, sees patience as a sign of Christian maturity. Have a look at this verse with me. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. Patience is a big deal. So how would we define patience? Here are some that I came across. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Anybody agree with that one? Yeah. Patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. Patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. We can be patient because God has it. We can be patient because God has us. But I want us to think for a moment about what patience and waiting accomplishes. Have a look at this quote. Waiting isn't just something you have to do in order to get what you want. No, waiting produces patience, understanding, maturity, and character. What God accomplishes in you while you're waiting is often more important than the thing you're waiting for. Do you agree? Do you remember there was like a cartoon thing, and forgive me because it's quite hazy in my memory, but it was the Lord had called this person to push a boulder. Do you remember it? So this man, it was a huge boulder, and over 2-3 years, he'd not moved this boulder a millimeter. And at the end of the 3 years, he complained to God that the boulder had not moved. And God said to him, but that was never my intention. He said, have you looked at your body recently? The workout that I've been giving you as you've been trying to move, he said, it's all about what I'm doing in you. And sometimes we forget that. In my quiet time, as you know, I love Bob Gass, and I mourn the loss of Bob Gass, but in my quiet time, I read this. Patience is not just the ability to wait, it's the ability to keep a good attitude while you're doing it. God knows the exact time for everything, and while your impatience can make you and everybody else around you miserable, it will not rush him. And then he goes on to say, listen. He would often say that. When he listened, he'd say, in due season, we shall reap. Due season is God's season, not ours. We are in a hurry. He is not. When God makes us wait, he's reminding us that we are not in control. Would anybody like to repeat that after me? We are not in control. Does anybody hate that? We love to be in control. A little test for you. Where does the remote control for the TV live at home? I don't want you to have... No, let's not have an argument about it right now. We love to be in control. About everything. And so when things happen in our lives that actually are out of kilter and we think, what on earth is going on here? We get a bit narky with God and we get narky with other people, don't we? And actually, I'm sure a lot of the time when God calls us to wait, and we've seen so many examples right at the front of this sermon about God now having a problem in getting us to wait, I'm sure he's saying to us, I want you to remember that you're not God. I need you to get off the throne, climb down, and allow me to be in my rightful place. In Psalm 37, verse 7, Psalm 37 is such a precious psalm for Sue and me. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's not just about waiting patiently. It's waiting patiently for God to move. Anybody want to say an amen to that? Anybody be in that situation where you're crying out to God, crying out to God, crying out to God, and he doesn't seem to be listening. He's just making you wait, making you wait, making you wait. We've all been there, haven't we? And he's saying, trust me. I am your good God. And I'm doing something profound in the waiting. We're not simply to be patient. We are to be trusting that God is on the move. He's teaching us how to be dependent on him. As you know, the theme throughout this series is for us to fall on our face, get down from our little perch of being in control of our lives and saying, God, unless you move, we have no chance. but look up into the eyes of our Godhead to see the smile that comes down and says, I long to move. I want to move in this land. I want to move in this church. I want to move in this community. And when you see that look in his face and he's saying, I want to use you, but I need you to wait because I need you to allow me to grow bigger in your world. I mean, our personal world. Then I can use you. I do find it fascinating that God calls Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, but not once does it say in Scripture that Moses led the people out of Egypt. It says God did. And Moses understood that, and that's why God could use him. See, it's not about our empire, it's about his kingdom. When we wait, we climb down from the throne, and we let him take his rightful place. I need to say very quickly two other things. One, I can't talk about patience without thinking about patience with others. I loved the way that Jade led us earlier in terms of asking for patience for another person or in a situation. We could all relate to that. And I just want to give you this verse from Ephesians chapter 4, if I may. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. What a high calling you and I have. If we call Christian, what a calling. There is no greater calling. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. Why did Paul stress this? It's because we find it so easy to be impatient. I asked someone, what does being patient with others mean to them? And the word that came back, which I thought was just so profound, was the word value. I can be patient with another person when I truly value them. Do you know, when we're truly patient with another person and we value them, we allow them to make mistakes. We allow them to mess up. We don't point the finger. We just hold up the hand and help them to get off the ground. I think that's what godly patience does, because you value the person. Patience is a barometer of how much we trust and depend on God. It helps us examine who is on the throne in our lives, and it encourages to value other people. So patience with others is a prerequisite for us who call ourselves Christian. But I want to finish with this one, and that is patience with ourselves. I think this is something that many struggle with, and often I will say to people, be kind to yourself. Stop beating yourself up. Give yourself a break. Why are you so amped up about messing up? One of the definitions we looked at earlier says patience is the ability to accept delay or disappointment graciously. I think all of us would agree with that. The problem is that sometimes we offer more patience with others than we do ourselves. Would you agree? We get so irritable with ourselves when we fail. What's that about? Why are we so hard on ourselves? God knows us through and through because he made us. I love that verse which says we have this treasure in jars of clay. He's never surprised when we mess up. He doesn't touch or shake his head in disappointment. I love this. Someone said, a friend is someone who sees straight through you and still enjoys the view. I love that. Someone who sees straight through you and still enjoys the view. Please hear this. We're all a little quirky. We're all slightly odd. I remember reading a book by John Ortberg once, and he was in a shop, and there was this rail which said seconds on it. There are slight flaws, and he thought, that's where I belong, in this shop. slightly flawed. So why don't we give ourselves more grace? Is it because God is so patient with us? He doesn't look at you and go, oh, dear me, they've messed up again. He goes, come on, my child. There's another opportunity. There's another day. Can I also say that learning not to take yourself too seriously is not only good for your mental health, it's good for the mental health of those who care for you. If you get too uptight and too intense. Somebody said to me, and I finish with this, Dave, learn to laugh at yourself. Because if you do, you'll never run out of material. I think it's brilliant advice. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that you are so patient. Lord, would you help us? Help us to trust you so much that when we've got situations in our lives where we need you to act right now, that, Lord, we will trust you that you will act when it's your time, because your time is always the right time. Father, we pray that you would help us, we pray, to be patient with others, especially those that really tick us off. Father, would you help us to be patient with ourselves and help us to see us through your eyes. And Lord, I want to finish by saying again, would you fill us with your Spirit? Would you drench us? Because Lord, we know that this passage is all about lives soaked in you. So would you move amongst us? Would you change us? Would you open our eyes and help us to see the wonder and glory of Jesus in a new and fresh way today? Because Father, as we get soaked in you, so you will impact our families, our neighborhoods, our communities. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, what a beautiful worship time we've had today. So wonderful to have you with us. Let's say if you are connecting with us via Zoom, may God bless you. And I wonder if we can just say the grace to one another now, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to talking with you over a cuppa.